Well, this year we've chosen as our theme, you shall call his name Jesus. And so I just want to share a little bit tonight from the Word and hopefully just encourage us, because I know for a lot of us, we come to, this is a special gathering, because a lot of the events that you might go to during the holidays are not focused on Jesus. And so I know that this is a special time for us. And I also decided that you may not bring your Bibles to a Christmas dessert, so I prepared the Word up on the slides so that we can follow along. So we're going to start by reading a passage out of Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. And it says this, "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus.'" Let's just pray over the word, shall we? Father in heaven, we bow our hearts before you once again tonight. Ask that your Holy Spirit would lead and guide each one of us. Show us something unique and personal and new that you want each of us to grasp and to take home in our hearts, that would prepare us for the season that we have before us to celebrate your birth. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. So the angel Gabriel is sent to Mary with some instructions. Well, really, some information for her, but really only one instruction, and that is she's to call him Jesus. Well, the angel also appeared to Joseph in Matthew chapter 1, and we'll read that. It says in Matthew 1:20, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Isn't it interesting? I don't know if you've ever caught on to that. I'm not sure I really caught on to it before I studied for this, that the phrase that the angel said to Mary and to Joseph at different times is identical. You shall give him the name Jesus, or the New King James says you shall call him Jesus. And so that's where we start with. Now, I was thinking about just naming children, and I'm guessing that in this room, even if you're only 15 years old, every woman in this room has thought about baby names, even if you're not a mom. You know, I wasn't the kind of young girl who just wanted to grow up and be a mommy right away. Some girls are. Maybe you were that kind of girl that it's like all you wanted to do is be a mommy. I wasn't exactly wired that way. I loved having my four kids. I love having them. But when I was a little girl, that's not all I was focused on. However, I had a long list of baby names. Even though I wasn't really, you know, wanting to be a mommy right away, I can remember being in grade school, playing on the playground, and comparing with friends. Did you guys do that? Did you talk about baby names? I don't know, you're kind of looking at me blankly. I'm worried I'm the only one here. This was supposed to be a good illustration. But when I was born and my mother called me Susan, my dad's mom was in her mid-70s. And she said to my mom, "Finally, a good old-fashioned sturdy name." Because I guess she thought Dawn and Diane were just way too modern. And, you know, I think she kind of liked me just a little bit better because I had that good old-fashioned sturdy name. But so if you are a mother in here and you've named children, you've maybe bought, back in the olden days, we had to actually buy a book. Now we can Google anything we want, right? But we may have bought a book, you know, what's in a name, or all kinds of reasons that you chose a name. Maybe you kind of measured the syllables, you know, and how it sounded with the last name. Or you wanted a name that was going to sound awesome for a baby, as well as a 50-year-old man. Or maybe you chose a family name to honor someone, or, you know, all kinds of things. Maybe a biblical name that, for a reason that you really liked a Bible character, or a biblical trait like grace or hope or something like that. Whatever you chose, you had a reason to choose it. Or at least your husband had a reason. You went along with it. You chose your name for a reason. And in meditating on this, the angels coming to both mom and dad, well, earthly dad, Mary and Joseph, and saying, you are to give him the name Jesus. I realized that's one thing they probably never had a conversation about, was what they would name this child. Because it was settled from the beginning. The angel had said, didn't give them very many instructions at all, just what they are to name this child. And God chose that name for a reason, just like you may have chosen your baby's names for a reason. And that was because of what the name Jesus means. Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew word Joshua, which means Jehovah is salvation, or God is salvation. It's interesting that when the angel came to Joseph, he not only said, you shall give him the name Jesus, but he went on to say, because he will save his people from their sins. Jehovah is salvation, because he will save his people from their sins. So tonight, we want to look at how the name of Jesus, Jehovah is salvation, saves us from the penalty of sin, how it saves us from the tyranny of sin in this world and leads us into joyful and abundant life, and how it gives us a promise of our eternal rest. God's son was to have a name that really revealed his father's character, that revealed God's character. And God's character was that he wanted to save us from our sins. I'm going to read a verse out of the book of Acts. And I want to tell you first that Paul's been teaching the book of Acts in the youth group for the last 4 weeks. And so in chapters 1 through 4, I was astounded by how many times it talks about the name of Jesus. It was a big deal to the early apostles. Some of you might know I'm a real counter, and so I circle it through 10 times in just chapters 2 through 4. The name of Jesus, speaking in the name of Jesus, you're not to preach in the name of Jesus, or all these things. It was a really big deal. But when Peter was talking to the Jewish leaders, he said this amazing, profound statement to them. And I'll have Jane put it up on the screen. Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Isn't that really profound? And it's poetic too. I just love how it says, no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. About a month ago, I was reading something on the internet, and someone was making a point of why it's reasonable for someone who is not a Christian, or someone of any religion or of no religion at all, to celebrate Christmas. And they were saying, because Christmas really isn't a religious holiday anymore, so it doesn't matter. And what he said was, we don't need a non-existent God to send a son to be killed as a blood sacrifice for us. We just need to understand our shared humanity. And that's the true message of the season of hope. And it really just tore into my heart enough, you can see, that I wrote it down. Because I realized so many people that we rub shoulders with during this season, this really is their only hope. It's a season of shared humanity. Here we are on this earth together at the same time, and that's all we have. But for us, we know this God who was pleased, who demonstrated his own love toward us by sending his son to be a sacrifice. And that his blood that was shed would cover over us and wash our sins, just like that Passover lamb as the blood was over the doorposts. And we know that that is true, and that is what we're celebrating. And it was so important that God sent angels to make sure that the message got to Mary and Joseph, call his name Jesus. I want them to understand Jehovah is salvation. So I thought that was... I love that verse tonight in going along with our theme. Salvation is found in no one else. There's no other name under heaven that is given to men. you might have already kind of figured out in your mind as you saw all these little frames that have the name Jesus in script, that this is your gift tonight. There's one for everyone here. And before I forget, table hostesses, there's not enough at your table for all of your ladies, and the rest of them are in a box in the back rows, so make sure that every lady at your table gets one to take home. But this is your Christmas gift. Don't you like to go somewhere and get a Christmas gift? This is your gift, and it's a name given to you, you know, in the same way that the name of Jesus is given to us. No other name by which we must be saved. So I hope that when you take that home and put it by your jewelry box or put it in your bookcase or whatever you do with it, that those words will maybe echo in your mind. You know, this is the only name under heaven given to us by which we must be saved. So that's what we celebrate with this, the angels telling him, name him Jesus, because he'll save us from the penalty of sin. The second point tonight is that the name of Jesus saves us from the tyranny of sin in this world and leads us into joyful and abundant life. A lot of you in this room are participating and following along with our Joshua Bible study that we have with our monthly Bible study with Women of the Word. We're studying the Old Testament book of Joshua. And in fact, tonight is our regular Women of the Word, you know, night. And that's why we chose this night to have our Christmas gathering. But for those of you who are studying with us, and those that maybe you just know anyway, you know that the Old Testament, the Hebrew name Joshua, means Jehovah is salvation, or Jehovah saves, just like the Greek name Jesus means the same thing. They're just different languages with different alphabets, and so it kind of comes out differently. But I was telling one of the ladies that it's just too rich that we're going through Joshua, who has the same name as Jesus, our Savior, who was born, and we're celebrating that, to not make the comparisons. So for just a little while tonight, I want to make some comparisons and just see maybe how the Holy Spirit might use that in our lives to encourage us. Old Testament Joshua, when he was born, was actually named Hoshea. He wasn't Joshua at birth. And so I thought about that mom and dad who were, comparing with Mary and Joseph, I thought about that mom and dad who were slaves in Egypt, because the nation of Israel was in slavery and bondage in Egypt, and they were slaves. I thought, what a scary time to be pregnant. You know, I think we were probably past the time when the Pharaoh said, throw all the baby boys in the river, because Joshua was about 40 years younger than Moses. But still, not an easy time to be pregnant. They didn't lead a joyful and abundant life in bondage in Egypt. And so I thought about this mom and dad having a baby and naming him Salvation. That was his name. They chose it for a reason, because they were probably looking for that. They were looking for, I'm guessing, for freedom from the life that they were living. And so Moses comes on the scene, and through the power of God, he leads the people out of Egypt into freedom. And he takes Joshua, and Moses renames him from Hoshea to Joshua, meaning Jehovah is salvation. He clarifies his name. And then, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, Moses has this experience with the Lord where he knows he's not the one to take them into the land that God promised them, but they go up to a mountain, and he gets to see in there, and he has this conversation with God, and it's recorded in Numbers chapter 27. And Moses says to God, he says, may the Lord appoint a man over this community, because he knows he's not going to be there himself, who will lead them out and bring them in so that the Lord's people will not be like a sheep without a shepherd. So Moses goes before the Lord and says, would you appoint a man over this group of people to lead them in so that your people will not be like a sheep without a shepherd? And God says, yeah, I want you to take Joshua, son of Nun. And so Joshua is selected to be the one to lead them into the promised land. And so we see, we have this preview or this little picture in Old Testament Joshua of leading the people into joy and abundance, which gives us a picture of our greater Joshua, Jesus Christ, who leads us into joy and abundant living while we're still here on earth, so that we're not like sheep without a shepherd. We're just not left to our own our own devices. Even at the crossing of the Jordan River itself, there is this sweet comparison that we have, because the Bible tells us they crossed over, the whole nation crossed over into the land of promise on the 10th day of the first month. Well, you might say, what's so important about the 10th day of the first month? Well, God had told Moses to instruct the people. That was the day they were to select the Passover lamb and to keep it until Passover on the 14th day of the first month. So here they are, Joshua leading them on the 10th day of the first month. And this is what it says in Joshua chapter 4. That day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they revered him all the days of his life, just as they had Moses. Now we fast forward all the way to the New Testament, and we have John baptizing our greater Joshua, Jesus, in the Jordan River at the same location, Bethany on the other side of Jordan, which was the place of the crossing. And John says of Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Now, why go to all the trouble to make these comparisons at a Christmas gathering? Because it's sweet. It is sweet how the breadcrumbs that the Lord leaves for us in the word and the encouragement that he gives us. But also, we see a picture of Old Testament Joshua, Jehovah is salvation, leading physical people into a land of abundance that gives us an idea of our Savior, Jesus Christ, Jehovah is salvation, that leads us into abundance. And sometimes I really need that encouragement. I need that reminder to know, yes, the word does say, in this world you will have trouble. That is true. But there's another scripture that I want to show. It's John chapter 10, starting in verse 7. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Or the King James says, "have it more abundantly." And I felt like this is something the Lord wanted us to just mull over a little bit as we celebrate Christmas, because just even the name that is given leads us into joyful and abundant life. Because remember, Moses asked the Lord, "Would you appoint a man over this community to bring them in so that your people will not be like a sheep without a shepherd?" And the very next thing that Jesus says is, "I am the good shepherd." And so just for a moment, I want us to think about that and just really rejoice in that. And I know I'm a little kind of twisted the way I see things, but I even just rejoiced in the fact that because we got our new chairs and we had didn't want to ask the guys to do so much work and tear everything down, I thought, oh, we'll just scrunch in over on this side. And look what we end up being right under. I am the good shepherd. Isn't that cool? I love it. But he was given a name, Jehovah is salvation. That even the name of Jesus saves us from the tyranny of sin in this world. I'm going to get back to that in just a minute. But thinking about the good shepherd, you know, when you think about shepherd, probably you can't think about, the first thing that comes to mind is the most famous psalm of all, number 23. You know, "the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." And one of the lines says, "he guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake." For the sake of his name, he guides me in paths of righteousness. So as his little sheep, you know, if I kind of tuck in under his care, he will guide me to the proper field to graze in and to be fed. And he'll guide me to the best watering hole. And he'll guide me to the sheep pen for rest. And he'll guide me along the proper path so I don't get into trouble for his name's sake. Even Psalm 31:3 says, Since you are my rock and fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. So Jesus, our good shepherd, saves us from the tyranny of sin and leads us into joyful and abundant life. What I mean is, we live in a world, because of sin, things happen that shouldn't happen. A lot of you are here tonight, and over the last year, or maybe years, things have happened in your life that just shouldn't happen. You've been affected by maybe a broken relationship, or cancer, or loss of employment, or maybe you're affected as an adult due to abusive situations in your childhood. Things that shouldn't happen. You know, and it makes us sad. I was at a Calvary Boise last Thursday, and Kathy Caldwell was sharing. She had just come back from a trip to India, and they had done a medical mission and brought in lots of village people with AIDS. So much AIDS. And she just said, you just can't even describe sometimes, you know. These are things that shouldn't happen. And we're touched by it. The world is affected by it. But the good news that we get to ponder on in thinking, you will call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Not only the penalty of sin that we get to go to heaven and be with him, that's awesome, as if that weren't enough, but also he leads and guides us. I am the good shepherd. He leads us like sheep, like Joshua led the people into joyful and abundance in the land of Canaan. So does Jesus lead and guide us if we will tuck in under that care. Also on those little names, you'll see there's a little diamond on the name Jesus. And, you know, I hope when you take that home that you will picture yourself, just that little sparkle, resting in the name, you know, just tucked in there, just belonging to him, part of that. The third thing that we want to talk about tonight is just that the name of Jesus gives us the promise of our eternal rest. And I didn't prepare a slide for this. Many of you know and have this memorized, but I'll just read Philippians 2, 9 through 11. It says, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God has exalted Jesus to the highest place, and Jesus is preparing a place for me and you. And that's the promise that we have, so that we can be with him where he is. He has the name. He was given a name above all other names. But if we're that little diamond, you know, just centered on that name, we just ride along because we have a sense of belonging and we belong to him. So tonight, as ladies that love the Lord, we have the opportunity to really celebrate the name of Jesus that saves us from the penalty of sin, leads us into joyful and abundant life. And if you're here tonight and you're not sure, you don't really remember a time when you've ever consciously just said to God, I believe Jesus is your son, and it's by his sacrifice that you have provided for me to be called by your name and to be your daughter. We have a little brochure on the drink table. It's called Connecting with God. And I just want to encourage you to grab that little brochure and read through it and go home and just pray and ask the Lord to, you know, just cover over your sins and to just be part of the family, because you need to. And if you're here tonight and you have had some real difficult things this year, this is your opportunity to grab a sister and just say, would you just pray for me? Because, you know, the holidays can be a difficult time. But our hope is in that good shepherd that leads us and guides us into joyful life. It's true, and it is a hope.